several days together. Only now and then they had some small intermission, in the which the townsmen refreshed themselves and the captains made ready for another assault. The captains of Emmanuel were clad in silver armor, and the soldiers in that which was of proof. The soldiers of Diabolus were clad in iron, which was made to give place to Emmanuel's engine shot. In the town some were hurt, and some were greatly wounded. Now the worst of it was, surgeon was scarce in Mansoul, for that Emmanuel at present was absent. Howbeit, with the leaves of a tree the wounded were kept from dying, yet their wounds did greatly putrefy, and some did grievously stink. Of the townsmen these were wounded, namely, my lord Reason, he was wounded in the head. Another that was wounded was the brave lord mayor, he was wounded in the eye. Another that was wounded was Mr. Mine. He received his wound about the stomach. The honest subordinate preacher also, he received a shot not far off the heart, but none of these were mortal. Many also of the inferior sort were not only wounded, but slain outright. Now in the camp of Diabolus were wounded and slain a considerable number. For instance, Captain Rage, he was wounded, and so was Captain Cruel. Captain Damnation was made to retreat and to entrench himself farther off of Mansoul. The standard also of Diabolus was beaten down, and his standard-bearer, Captain Much Hurt, had his brains beat out with a slingstone, to the no little grief and shame of his prince, Diabolus. Many also of the doubters were slain outright, though enough of them were left alive to make Mansoul shake and totter. Now the victory that day being turned to Mansoul did put great valor into the townsmen and captains, and did cover Diabolus's camp with a cloud, but withal it made them far more furious. So the next day Mansoul rested, and commanded that the bells should be rung. The trumpets also joyfully sounded, and the captains shouted round the town. My lord Willby Will also was not idle, but did notable service within against the domestics, or the Diabolonians that were in the town, not only by keeping them in awe, for he lighted on one at last whose name was Mr. Anything, a fellow of whom mention was made before, for it was he, if you remember, that brought the three fellows to Diabolus, whom the Diabolonians took out of Captain Bonerges' company, and that persuaded them to list themselves under the tyrant to fight against the army of Shaddai. My lord Willby Will did also take a notable Diabolonian, whose name was Loose Foot. This Loose Foot was a scout to the vagabonds in Mansoul, and that did use to carry tidings out of Mansoul to the camp, and out of the camp to those of the enemies in Mansoul. Both these my lord sent away safe to Mr. True Man, the jailer, with a commandment to keep them in irons, for he intended then to have them out to be crucified, when it would be for the best to the corporation, and most for the discouragement of the camp of the enemies. My lord mayor also, though he could not stir about so much as formerly, because of the wound that he lately received, yet gave he out orders to all that were the natives of Mansoul, to look to their watch and stand upon their guard, and, as occasion should offer, to prove themselves men. Mr. Conscience, the preacher, he also did his utmost to keep all his good documents alive upon the hearts of the people of Mansoul. Well, a while after, the captains and stout ones of the town of Mansoul agreed and resolved upon a time to make a sally out upon the camp of Diabolus, and this must be done in the night, and there was the folly of Mansoul, for the night is always the best for the enemy, but the worst for Mansoul to fight in. But yet they would do it. Their courage was so high, their last victory also still stuck in their memories. So the night appointed being come, the prince's brave captains cast lots who should lead the van in this new and desperate expedition against Diabolus, and against his Diabolonian army, and the lot fell to Captain Credence, to Captain Experience, and to Captain Good Hope, to lead the forlorn hope. This Captain Experience the prince created such when himself did reside in the town of Mansoul. So, as I said, they made their sally out upon the army that lay in the siege against them, and their hap was to fall in with the main body of their enemies. Now Diabolus and his men, being expertly accustomed to night work, took the alarm presently and were as ready to give them battle as if they had sent them word of their coming. Wherefore to it they went amain, and blows were hard on every side. The hell drum also was beat most furiously, while the trumpets of the prince most sweetly sounded. And thus the battle was joined, and Captain Insatiable looked to the enemy's carriages and waited when he should receive some prey. The prince's captains fought it stoutly, beyond what indeed could be expected they should. They wounded many. They made the whole army of Diabolus to make a retreat. But I cannot tell how, but the brave Captain Credence, Captain Good Hope, and Captain Experience, as they were upon the pursuit, cutting down and following hard after the enemy in the rear, Captain Credence stumbled and fell, by which fall he caught so great a hurt that he could not rise till Captain Experience did help him up, at which their men were put in disorder. The captain also was so full of pain that he could not forbear but aloud to cry out. At this the other two captains fainted, supposing that Captain Credence had received his mortal wound. Their men also were more disordered and had no list to fight. Now Diabolus, being very observing, though at this time as yet he was put to the worst, perceiving that a halt was made among the men that were the pursuers, what does he but, taking it for granted that the captains were either wounded or dead, he therefore makes at first a stand, then faces about, and so comes up upon the prince's army with as much of his fury as hell could help him to. And his hap was to fall in just among the three captains, Captain Credence, Captain Good Hope, and Captain Experience, and did cut, wound, and pierce them so dreadfully, that what through discouragement, what through disorder, and what through the wounds that now they had received, and also the loss of much blood, they scarce were able, though they had for their power the three best hands in Mansoul, to get safe into the hold again. Now when the body of the prince's army saw how these three captains were put to the worst, they thought it their wisdom to make as safe and good a retreat as they could, and so returned by the sally port again, and so there was an end of this present action. But Diabolus was so flushed with this night's work that he promised himself, in few days, an easy and complete conquest over the town of Mansoul. Wherefore, on the day following, he comes up to the sides thereof with great boldness and demands entrance, and that forthwith they deliver themselves up to his government. The Diabolonians, too, that were within, they began to be somewhat brisk, as we shall show afterward. But the valiant Lord Mayor replied that what he got he must get by force, for as long as Emmanuel their prince was alive, though he at present was not so with them as they wished, they should never consent to yield Mansoul up to another. And with that the Lord Wilbewill stood up and said, Diabolus, thou master of the den and enemy of all that is good, we poor inhabitants of the town of Mansoul are too well acquainted with thy rule and government, and with the end of those things that for certain will follow submitting to thee to do it. Wherefore, though while we were without knowledge we suffered thee to take us, as the bird that saw not the snare fell into the hands of the fowler, yet since we have been turned from darkness to light, we have also been turned from the power of Satan to God. And though through thy subtlety, and also the subtlety of the Diabolonians within, we have sustained much loss, and also plunged ourselves into much perplexity, yet give up ourselves, lay down our arms, and yield to so horrid a tyrant as thou, we shall not die upon the place we choose rather to do. Besides, we have hopes that in time deliverance will come from court unto us, and therefore we yet will maintain a war against thee. This brave speech of the Lord Wilbewill, with that also of the Lord Mayor, did somewhat abate the boldness of Diabolus, though it kindled the fury of his rage. It also succored the townsmen and captains. Yea, it was as a plaster to the brave Captain Credence's wound, for you must know that a brave speech now, when the captains of the town with their men of war came home routed, and when the enemy took courage and boldness as a success that he had obtained to draw up to the walls and demand entrance as he did, was in season and also advantageous. The Lord Wilbewill also did play the man within, for while the captains and soldiers were in the field, he was in arms in the town, and wherever by him there was a Diabolonian found, they were forced to feel the weight of his heavy hand and also the edge of his penetrating sword. Many, therefore, of the Diabolonians were wounded, as the Lord Cavil, the Lord Brisk, the Lord Pragmatic, and the Lord Murmur. Several also of the meaner sort he did sorely maim, though there cannot at this time an account be given you of any that he slew outright. The cause, or rather the advantage that my Lord Wilbewill had at this time to do thus, was for that the captains were gone out to fight the enemy in the field. For now, thought the Diabolonians within, is our time to stir and make an uproar in the town. What do they therefore but quickly get themselves into a body and fall forthwith to hurricaning and mansoul, as if now nothing but whirlwind and tempest should be there. Wherefore, as I said, he takes this opportunity to fall in among with his men, cutting and slashing with courage that was undaunted, at which the Diabolonians with all haste dispersed themselves to their holes, and my lord to his place as before. This brave act of my lord did somewhat revenge the wrong done by Diabolus to the captains, and also did let them know that Mansoul was not to be parted with for the loss of a victory or two. Wherefore the wing of the tyrant was clipped again, as to boasting. I mean, in comparison of what he would have done if the Diabolonians had put the town to the same plight in which he had put the captains. Well, Diabolus yet resolves to have the other bout with Mansoul. For, thought he, since I beat them once, I may beat them twice. Wherefore he commanded his men to be ready at such an hour of the night to make a fresh assault upon the town, and he gave it out in special that they should bend all their force against Fieldgate and attempt to break into the town through that. The word that then he did give to his officers and soldiers was hellfire. And, said he, if we break in upon them, as I wish we do, either with some or with all our force, let them that break in look to it, that they forget not the word, and let nothing be heard in the town of Mansoul, but hellfire, hellfire, hellfire. The drummer was also to beat without ceasing, and the standard-bearers were to display their colors. The soldiers, too, were to put on what courage they could, and to see that they played manfully their parts against the town. So when night was come and all things by the tyrant made ready for the work, he suddenly makes his assault upon Fieldgate. And after he had a while struggled there, he throws the gate wide open. For the truth is, those gates were but weak, and so most easily made to yield. When Diabolus had thus far made his attempt, he placed his captains, namely Torment and No Ease, there. So he attempted to press forward, but the prince's captains came down upon him, and made his entrance more difficult than he desired. And to speak truth, they made what resistance they could, but the three of their best and most valiant captains being wounded, and by their wounds made much incapable of doing the town that service they would, and all the rest having more their hands full of the doubters, and their captains did follow Diabolus. They were overpowered with force, nor could they keep them out of the town. Wherefore the prince's men and their captains betook themselves to the castle, as to the stronghold of the town. This they did partly for their own security, partly for the security of the town, and partly, or rather chiefly, to preserve to Emmanuel the prerogative royal of Mansoul, for so was the castle of Mansoul. The captains, therefore, being fled into the castle, the enemy, without much resistance, possessed themselves of the rest of the town, and spreading themselves as they went into every corner, they cried out as they marched according to the command of the tyrant, "Hellfire! Hellfire! Hellfire!" so that nothing for a while throughout the town of Mansoul could be heard but the direful noise of hellfire, together with the roaring of Diabolus' drum. And now did the clouds hang black over Mansoul, nor to reason did anything but ruin seem to attend it. Diabolus also quartered his soldiers in the house of the inhabitants of the town of Mansoul. Yea, the subordinate preacher's house was as full of these outlandish doubters as ever it could hold, and so was my lord mayor's and my lord Wilbewill's also. Yea, where was there a corner, a cottage, a barn, or a hogsty that now was not full of these vermin? Yea, they turned the men of the town out of their houses and would lie in their beds and sit at their tables themselves. Ah, poor Mansoul, now thou feelest the fruits of sin. Yea, what venom was in the flattering words of Mr. Carnal Security. They made great havoc of whatever they laid their hands on. Yea, they fired the town in several places. Many young children also were by them dashed in pieces, and those that were yet unborn they destroyed in their mother's wombs. For you must needs think that it could not now be otherwise. For what conscience, what pity, what bowels of compassion can any expect at the hands of outlandish doubters? Many in Mansoul that were women, both young and old, were forced, ravished, and beast-like abused, so that they swooned, miscarried, and many of them died, and so lay at the top of every street, and in all by-places of the town. And now did Mansoul seem to be nothing but a den of dragons, an emblem of hell, and a place of total darkness. Now did Mansoul lie almost like the barren wilderness. Nothing but nettles, briars, thorns, weeds, and stinking things seemed now to cover the face of Mansoul. I told you before how that these Diabolonian doubters turned the men of Mansoul out of their beds, and now I will add they wounded them, they mauled them, yea, and almost brained many of them. Many, did I say, yea, most, if not all of them. Mr. Conscience they so wounded, yea, and his wounds so festered, that he could have no ease day or night, but lay as if continually upon a rack. But that Shaddai rules all, certainly they had slain him outright. Mr. Lord Mayor they so abused that they almost put out his eyes, and had not my Lord Wilbywill got into the castle, they intended to have chopped him all to pieces. For they did look upon him as his heart now stood, to be one of the very worst that was in Mansoul against Diabolus and his crew. And indeed he hath showed himself a man, and more of his exploits you will hear of afterwards. Now a man might have walked for days together in Mansoul and scarcely have seen one in the town that looked like a religious man. Oh, the fearful state of Mansoul now! Now every corner swarmed with outlandish doubters. Redcoats and blackcoats walked the town by clusters and filled up all the houses with hideous noises, vain songs, lying stories, and blasphemous language against Shaddai and his son. Now also those Diabolonians that lurked in the walls and dens and holes that were in the town of Mansoul came forth and showed themselves, yea, walked with open face in company with the doubters that were in Mansoul. Yea, they had more boldness now to walk the streets, to haunt the houses, and to show themselves abroad than had any of the honest inhabitants of the now woeful town of Mansoul. But Diabolus and his outlandish men were not at peace in Mansoul, for they were not there entertained as were the captains and forces of Emmanuel. The townsmen did browbeat them what they could, nor did they partake or make story of any of the necessaries of Mansoul, but that which they seized on against the townsmen's will. What they could they hid from them, and what they could not they had with an ill will. They, poor hearts, had rather have had their room than their company, but they were at present their captives, and their captives for the present they were forced to be. But I say, they discountenanced them as much as they were able, and showed them all the dislike that they could. The captains also from the castle did hold them in continual play with their slings to the chafing and fretting of the minds of the enemies. True, Diabolus made a great many attempts to have broken open the gates of the castle, but Mr. Godly Fear was made the keeper of that, and he was a man of that courage, conduct, and valor, that it was in vain, as long as life lasted within him, to think to do that work, though mostly desired, wherefore all the attempts that Diabolus made against him were fruitless. I have wished sometimes that that man had had the whole rule of the town of Mansoul.